Soca Kingdom.
Barbados, get ready.
Soca Kingdom.
As we take Soca to another level.
Soca Kingdom.
With Soca Royalty.
Soca Network, in association with Cropover City, presents
Soca Ignition.
Ready.
Saturday, June 2nd, be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House from 9 p.m. and rev it up with Soca Royalty. From Trinidad and Tobago, three-time international Soca Monarch voice.
From your wake up this morning.
Four-time Chutney Soca Monarch, Ravi B. The Soca King of New York, Lyrical.
If like it, I could dance tonight.
The best of Beige and Soca Royalty.
Oh yes, the water rock.
Early bird tickets are now available at $60 general and $250 VIP. From Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Lawrence, Worthing, and Bagatelle. CS Pharmacy, Bridgetown. A&B Music Supply, Sheraton. Smart Store, Lime Grove. Eddie Supermarket, Spikestown. Little Munchkin, Sky Mall. And Starcom Network on River Road. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. We're revving up with Soca Royalty, so get your tickets now! Soca Ignition is powered by Jewel's Whiskey, True Scotch, Heineken, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, KFC, Mount Gay Rum, Remy Martin 1738, and Hot 95.3 FM.
You see the party there? The party lit!
Afternoon. I'll hold on the WhatsApps for now. I'll take some calls. Lots of WhatsApps coming in. Lots of people out there facing domestic violence, and they want people to reach out to. So I'll see what we can do. I got a lot of deep messages coming in through today. People who felt the wrong end of abuse. Other persons who've been exposed to persons on the bus behaving in a manner is not really fit for public display, etc. So I think we have a lot of issues here to deal with. But 30 minutes afternoon, you're on the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kobe. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I hear you. It's so long, right? And I heard you the other day and I felt so bad. but now I feel good again.
Yeah. I have some issues I want to explain about the disability that they call us disability. And, you know, I want to explain what is disability. Disability, I see, is when you can't function, when you're on a bed and you cannot function. If you are visually impaired, right, you can do anything because I cook. People who are blind, they cook, they do everything. The only thing is it that they can't see, right? And as the guy yesterday after me said that people don't see you. They see your disability.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to let them, people know that, you know, we in the differently able community, right, is we differently able because we cannot see. But the person was blind, my uncle was blind. And the home helper, she thought that she had to help me. But when she see me doing things and moving around, she was so astonished. She said, I don't have to help you. I said, no. You know, and my aunt, too. When I went there, the first thing, people who are blind, the only thing you have to do is show them, say, I come into your building, you show me, you take me around. And from there, I can find it on my own. When I went to America and I reached the night, I told my aunt to show me around her house and I will get around. But she wasn't too sure if I would get in the washroom in the night because that is my first time. She was so astonished. Next morning, I did not use the utensil that she bought, that I went into the toilet. I couldn't find my way and it was down a long corridor. You know, so don't people think, you know, because you're blind that you can't do anything. And I heard Lynette Eastman, when I spoke yesterday about they taking me off of work, she said she was not too sure. I did not explain if the person had to readjust, but they didn't because the place where I was working, it was a flat place. right? And it's only going up the steps. And that was no problem because I was there after I was diagnosed. I was there for a couple of months, right? So, and I was doing everything, everything. Nobody didn't have to take me along, nobody. I was doing the massage, the bath. I was doing hot stone massages, and nobody didn't get burned or anything. But they take me off the job because they could. They said that when at that institution, they give you a form, we give you a form to fill up, right? And question, they ask different questions if you have AIDS, if you're sick, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But because I could not see to fill up the form, I think that is why they think. But, you know, questionnaire, people don't give you the right answer. I was working with somebody else, and you just ask the person face-to-face. You understand? They didn't have to fill up form, but, you know. So people here, they think because you're blind that you can't work.
You see, let me tell you something about these so-called disabilities. And in case you get cut off, I need you to call back, or we need you to stay on the line because we want to get your telephone number, especially in relation to the massage. But let me tell you about these so-called disabilities, right?
Yeah.
Now, it may be a disability in a particular area, right? But
yeah.
I've been watching these videos recently and preparing some motivational speeches and so on. And they're showing you like some of the top 10 best at this and that. And invariably, you see these people with these so-called disabilities at the top of their game, doing amazing
yes.
things. There's something about a disability that gives the person that extra drive,
yes.
that extra ability
yes.
to achieve and succeed and surpass those who are so-called able.
Yes.
That is what I realized, and that is what I have begun to see. Now, some people have disabilities, obviously a human in a certain way that causes the staring and so on. And we've discussed that on this program. Recently, I saw a guy, the first time I've seen it, he has a hand and it's bent back in a particular way. And obviously, not seeing that all the time, it looks unique and you're not staring out of the fact that you're trying to be mean or anything. But
right.
people need to be conscious of all of these things. And that is why I appreciate that we have these discussions outside of Disability Month. Because these are issues that we have to grapple with every month of the year. So,
yes.
I mean, we got to spend time saluting those among us with disabilities that really get out there and achieve, and those who are even putting in the effort, because there are lots of people, so-called able, who sit on a block 18 hours in a day and so on, you know. To me, those are the people who are really disabled in my mind.
And, you know, the disability, when you get knocked off the disability funds that, you know, if those the government will not have to spend so much money because people are more than able to just have to adjust, right? Because when you know your department where you work, right? I was cooking before. Nobody had to tell me what to do, how to do it. I continue. You understand? I just have to be more careful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people who are visually impaired, they're you just don't fire them because of the thing. Because when I went to New York and this guy, I massaged him. His wife wasn't too, you know, confident. But he told her. And when the person who was massaging her did not come. And she said, let me try you, Osman. When she tried me, you know what? She said, I'm not trying my guy until you're gone. So... it's not that I bring this up all the time, and that's why I was glad for the forum yesterday that I can speak and think, because I bring it up in meetings when we have NUSB meeting and people come in from the union.
NUSB?
Yes, we have a forum that called NUSB meeting, the Blind Association,
mm-hmm.
at the Blind Workshop,
mm-hmm.
right? And they bring in different people. And all the time I'm asking, how is it that the unions here, when people get a disability, they're not able to, you know, speak for that person. You just come home and they think you just sit down. But no, you do like America, my friend whose sister lives over there, you see, you just spoke about a guy whose hand is bent. People like that is working in America. Right? You cannot have that discrimination in America. Right?
We got somewhere to go with that, like we're saying, the Caribbean, because
we do, from
children we shut them away. From children we don't provide the transportation for them to get the type of education. And it goes from there, because you start with that kind of mentality that you are pushed in a corner, and only those who can really surmount or have that type of support actually will find a way to get beyond it.
And we need education, so I am glad that I have this forum that I can speak, you know, for the disabled community or the differently able, because disabled to me is when you're lying and somebody have to feed you. Right? That is disability. Mm-hmm. But not when you're differently able because something happened to you.
And we really got to make the differentiation. Now, I haven't heard you for a while, and a lot of persons on the chat actually reminded me that you owe us more than you know you owe us a joke, but the life will tell you owe us more than one. But because of the time, I would still take a little one.
This politician wife, she found out that her child was not her biological child, so she was so mad. So her husband said, "Why are you mad? Remember in hospital that little incident that happened with the baby, and you told me to go and change him? Well, I did."
Have a blessing, a wonderful day. You hear? Now, before we take this next call, I just got this in. There's a number here that's verified as Michael Lashley. Communicate on to get information. And he's given me the authorization to speak to the issue. He's saying there's no sanction from the ministry, no agreement. Mr. Raphael is a wild horse. He said we need to call Morris Lee. He said we are advancing the duty-free concessions. Our TASI project still takes $1.50. And he says, yes, you can mention all the above. So, there's been no sanction by the Ministry of Transport according to this verified method of communication with the Minister of Transport. This is something that we need to talk about. This is something that we need to get to the bottom of. How many people out there pay that $2 already? We take the next call. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, please.
Just two little points here. Is there any law about kite flying at night?
There's a law about public nuisance. We don't need a law for everything.
I'm talking about. I live in an area that the guy pulls the kite down in the day, and at night we have a senior citizen home, we have elderly people, sick people, and these kites are ranting and raving and disturbing your sleep. I have called the three several times and haven't gotten any results. So I'm just trying to find out if there's any legality about it or if something could be done.
They're not to particularly to kites. I had a message here, 1136. It says, Corey, another issue that's being ignored and we've dealt with violent results is, Corey, since Saturday night, I've been calling the police about a kite flying at night with the restaurant noise, with the resultant noise, and it is all to no avail. So there are a number of people who call this station kite season after kite season. We get a lot less calls now. I don't know if there are less kites or people kind of frustrated and realize that, you know, nothing will be done. But I understand how it can be a public nuisance, and you have to pursue it in relation to noise pollution and public nuisance. But there's no legislation that I am aware of that says you cannot fly kite beyond X time. You can fly kite in certain areas that are deemed hazardous to aircraft and so on. But in terms of the kite, there's no specific law. I think the police actually even go and they use moral suasion to get people to haul in kites, as opposed to, say, according to Section 372, you have to take down this kite.
All right. My other point is that have they abandoned the idea of building an island offshore Barbados?
I actually I heard that come out on a platform, so I don't know. I don't think there are a number of parties, I lost count, vying for office and to form the next government, next parliament. And I've heard it on one or two platforms in terms of the islands. I don't know what's the position on all the parties, but I know that some of them are talking about it.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you as well. So, I want to get into some of these messages. I'm actually going to read this one. I want to remind you the WhatsApp number is 266-4862. For those of you who would like to know, you can send your short WhatsApp to that. The difficulty with the WhatsApp, as you would appreciate, is that there's so many WhatsApps that come through during the day. I try to take the opportunity during the breaks to try to read them and lump some of them together because it's not possible to read all. So it's not that anyone may be avoiding reading your contribution. It's just that it's just not possible to read all. So this one says, Corey, I felt compelled to write you after the lady called about the child on the bus. I don't know how to email you on the program. I know a man who is on the bus every morning doing this to school children and is usually first formers calling the program is not all that should be done. I know because he did it to my child and I went from lower to higher court and after I refused to accept the court settlement. I believe it's him because I see him in Oyslands catching the bus that are full with Dighton and Foundation children and he have a car and medically unfit from his job as the police because of sickness, they call it. Well, they give the name here. Can't give the name here. And remember when you're writing in to put in those punctuations so that we can get a good smooth read and understanding of what it is you're talking about. So let's go to the telephone lines and say good afternoon and welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, blessed good afternoon to you.
Hi, this is Mr. Lane.
Yes, it is.
Hi, so I am a first-time caller. I just wanted to add to the conversation of domestic violence.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you. So the reason why I've never called before and the reason why I decided I basically had to call was because I was indirectly affected by domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, I didn't see the video that everyone was talking about, but hearing about it, you know, it really raised some emotions within me. And I find that before it even gets to that point of where someone is injured or, God forbid, you know, they lose their life, I find when females who are the primarily ones who are affected by domestic violence, whenever they do finally decide to gather up the courage and report an incident, I find that when it's time now to rely on the judiciary system, there is not enough support for such individuals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have had a lot of examples, and even this morning, I had one of my very close friends going to, you know, have a case brought before the magistrate this morning, and she was actually led to feel as if she was wasting everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this was very heartbreaking to hear and to see how disappointed she was in our system. And I am a young female. She's a young female. She has some children. She has some children to raise, some children to guide. And if someone's spirit is continuously broken by persons who you are supposed to run to for help, then who else is there? In addition to all of this, I feel that maybe I am a very open-minded person. So I said to myself, maybe it is because that these magistrates see and hear the same thing day in and day out. They're hear of cases where some persons may report, you know, an incident, and then the cases are dropped. But you have to acknowledge the fact that because they see these cases every day, it does not dilute each individual case.
Mm-hmm. They get desensitized.
Desensitized to it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there should be some, I don't know if there is or if there is not, But there should be some formal training of these magistrates. Nobody is too large and in charge to learn. There should be some formal training as to the fact that
our sensitization.
Exactly.
Because yeah. we had done it with all levels when it came to things like HIV and the language yeah. you use and how you treat to the patients and so on, the words you use, don't use victim and all that. And I think simply exactly. here we have to do that type of thing. I want to read this message for you and help us to enter into this discussion with the other side in mind.
Okay.
This person says, Corey, you allow all these ladies to call this program talking foolishness about men. They choose their own poison. Let them deal with it. These ladies does call the police for incidents involving their spouses. And as soon as you get there, they're telling them, I ain't going through with it no more. And then they start to get their tail burst again. And then coming on the ear talking a lot of what is on the South Coast. Man, it got my head hot.
You know, to that, I completely understand that. Because, like I said, I was indirectly affected by this. And the first incident, the first incident was actually called off. But because I have some training in health, I know that there is something called Stockholm Syndrome, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. affects many victims, where they do not recognize that a perpetrator is actually a perpetrator, that they are being oppressed or abused. Additionally, when you start to meet somebody and you start to court them, they don't pull out everything in their bags. They show you the good side. It is only after something very drastic happens, you have invested all of your time. You may have children, you may have businesses, you may have houses, you may have all different types of things that connect you with that person, and you have never seen this side. It may even go dormant for years. This is not something that people typically, on the first date, slap you in your face and then you say, oh, okay, well, I'll see you again tomorrow. That never happened.
You're right. I want to read that this one more for you, right? And then I got some questions for you.
Okay.
Because I realize that we have a way bigger problem, and I realize it more and more today. Listen to this one.
Okay.
Corey, in no way is what these men doing to women right. But how we just put a butt after these things? That ain't crawling with anybody. It ain't right, full stop. But anyhow, it ain't right. But for young men to find out that these children aren't theirs is a really hard thing. I know you don't want to read this text, but men have a side too. So this is with this sort of thinking out there, it makes the project harder. You get where you're coming from. Because it must be a zero tolerance. No matter what happens, there must be a way to resolve it. You cheat, resolve. If it is a jacket you get, you resolve it. You know, so I think about the department store. At the end of the day, there must be ways to resolve this thing without brutally murdering or abusing anyone.
And this is something that goes even when students are young and they get into disagreements. If somebody stole your pencil and you take up something and hit them with it, you are wrong.
Correct. There's
you
no
are never
justification.
Taught that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, your pencil will be replaced. Yes, that person will be, you know, told that that was wrong. But because you hit them, you have now entered into a do-for-do mentality with that person, which is never right. Two rights do not make a wrong. Two wrongs do not make a right. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And I also find it very interesting that who is sending these messages, these very one-sided messages, are males. I am not saying
no, some
that,
are females
that,
and some are males, right? No, I don't only tell by the picture, but you can tell like a profiler. You can tell way how women and things. My wife reads a lot of the book, and she can tell you the author by the style of writing. And
I am not generalizing.
Mm-hmm.
But I am 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a very, like I said before, I'm a very open-minded person. I am quiet, but I like to analyze every situation that I am put into.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that within not only this society, but in most societies, there is a fraternity where men look after men, and there's a sorority where females look after females. But unfortunately, the females who are able to look after the females, there are not many. If you look at the magistrates or even the members of parliament, there are not many. There are only a few. If you look at a few females, if you compare that to the amount of males, then it is this. I don't know. It's just, it's not right. It's not equal.
Because
and
you analyze.
Whether you are aware of it or not, these are things that happen subconsciously to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are aware, you see something that you that is like you, so you gravitate towards that.
The whole idea of corporal punishment as well. Mm-hmm. It really made me rethink this whole idea. From very young, you were taught that because someone is bigger than you, they can actually beat you. And I know the people out there like the licks and things that don't agree, but I actually started thinking about it because adults do a lot of foolishness too. So a child gets to school late because of a parent or because of a bus. You beat that child. Well, you don't beat the bus driver. You don't beat the minister of transport. You don't beat the parent. So it's all about power. But I believe if you were beating everybody, it would be good with it. You understand? But the fact that you demonstrate that because you have power and might over somebody, you can hit them. I think that that sends a very strong message to people from early. Right. Again, in the debate with the Lashes Brigade or anybody, right? But I'm just saying that you have to examine the message that it sends from a very young age. And it brings me to this message and this question for you. As an analytical person, as a young lady, 26 years old, what steps will you take in your life personally to avoid putting yourself in a position like what we're reading about in the newspaper from time to time?
Well, what I find is I study a very difficult topic. So usually I am very caught up in my own life to be able to put myself out there. However, when I do, because I do have an analytical mind, I don't miss anything. Any red flags, I am able to identify. And I am not, also, I don't want to sound as if I am a goody-two-shoes. I am not saying that either. What I am saying is I am completely and totally fine being by myself. And because of that, I am able to know when best somebody is allowed to join with me. If you do not show anything, you know, that you don't show any type of betterment to yourself, any type of ambition that can also, you know, encourage both of us to be who we will be when we do, you know, become parents or become, I don't know, in charge of persons, leaders in society. If that is not your ambition, if that is not something that you can help me with and I can help you with, then frankly, I want nothing to do with you. That is just me personally. It also takes a lot for me. Like I said, I am a quiet person. I'm very analytical. So it takes me a long time for me to show somebody who I am. And I find in doing that, when there's a lot of silence, people show you who they are. When you don't show... I don't know if I'm explaining it the correct way, but when you allow people, they say this all the time, when you allow people to show you who they are, then you should listen to it. And also, I grew up in a church, and I have a very strong, you know, family unit. So usually, my parents are the ones to say, you know what, this does not look that right, and I respect my parents. And like I said, letting people show you who they are. If somebody tell you something one day, don't think that they told you that because it was just a mistake. That is something that they wanted to say. If somebody gets aggressive in a situation where there should not be, say the gas attendant is taking too long to get to your car, that is not normal. Things like that, little instances, people show their true character when you allow them to. That is personally how I try to stay away and how I try to pick the right partners for me. And like I said, I was indirectly affected by this. I won't say that I grew up around domestic violence, but I have seen it and I have heard it. Not in my household, but I have seen and heard it. So because of that, I know when to run, when to say something here is not right. Something about this person's character does not mesh with mine. It's just not something that I would like to join myself with. Because at the end of the day, whoever you are with is a reflection of you. And I'm a very gentle and caring person. So if someone is not, I quickly pick up on that and it just turns me off. It turns me away from that individual. And typically I surround myself with persons who are like-minded.
Correct. You sound like a person got your head on, you know, one of these independent thinking people. And so I think it starts with in mind. I want to thank you. I want to encourage you not to make this the last call, albeit your first call. And I want to remind those people that say, oh, just the regular callers, take that one day. So there's no excuse for violent ill-treatment of women or anyone. These men need to stop justifying it. The society needs to send a strong message that it will not be tolerated. We have to stop pussyfooting for too long. The punishment needs to fit the crime. This is the Wednesday edition of Don't a Brass Tacks.